Fans, we have a special segment coming up brought to us by Volvo Cars of Walnut Creek and Nation's Giant Hamburgers. This past winter, Bill King, legendary Bay Area broadcaster, received the highest honor given to a baseball broadcaster when he received the Ford C. Frick Award for Excellence in Broadcasting from the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. Bill King began his career behind the mic during World War II with the Armed Forces Radio Network, recreating games for the troops. Bill brought games to life with his lively phrases and use of language, perhaps best remembered for the exclamation, "Holy Toledo!" when a particularly wild event happened. Bill began his Bay Area career in 1958, joining Russ Hodges and Lon Simmons on the original Giants broadcast. Over a six-decade career, Bill described the action of the championship seasons of the Warriors, Raiders, and Athletics. Bill King meant the world to me. When I started my show in 1998, he was always there to give me encouragement, but most of all, respect for the work I was doing, interviewing those connected to the game while chronicling the oral history of baseball on a daily basis. Bill's door was always open to me. He was a dear friend, and I miss him every time I walk into the ballpark. His passing in 2005 was one of my saddest days, but what a life he lived. Bill's love of opera and ballet. Bill was an accomplished and wonderful artist, an expert in Russian history, a voracious reader, and an accomplished sailor. Those were just some of his loves away from the park. I'm thrilled to play for you some of my conversations with Bill over the years. Just hearing his voice makes my day. He never wasted a word, and his use of language is unsurpassed. Now here's Bill King talking some baseball with me. Holy Toledo.
We're just past the one-third mark. So, you know, there used to be an old saying about where teams were on the 4th of July and then projecting to the end, and even that was pretty iffy. So when you're projecting from this far down the line, it's really tough to tell. You can remember recent years when teams in the Central Division had run off with great first halves and just hit a wall in the second half, speaking of the American League, for example. And you look and you see teams are eight games down. They're not out of it in many cases. Now, you might look at the individual team, which might have a lack of depth or a lack of punch or questionable pitching, and say, well, it's not logical to assume that this team will be able to make the kind of run that would overcome the pace setters. But by and large, if teams are on a relatively equal basis, the spurts that can occur are so unpredictable, and nothing is impossible.
Now, you just want to get close at the end. Hey, this day in baseball history, today, 1944, Joe Nuxhall became the youngest ever to appear in a major league game.
I remember that because I was a high school catcher at the time, and I thought, boy, there's a chance for everybody. Because there was also a young catcher named Billy Sarney, 16 years old, who was called up to the Cubs. He was a big guy. And then Joe Garagiola was 17 when he was called up to the Cardinals from AAA. That was during World War II. You know, and I'm sitting there saying, hey, man, anything is possible.
Well, he pitched in that one game, and of course, two-thirds of an inning, St. Louis just lit him up. 5 runs on 2 hits. Then he didn't get back to the big leagues for about 8 years, and then he came back in 52.
And had a long broadcast career after his playing career, which he retired, I think, just a year or so ago as Marty Brenneman's partner there in Cincinnati. By the way, I thought Hank and Ken had a lot of great stories about D.C. and about the history and old Griffith Stadium and the 405-foot left field line and measuring Mantle's epic home run. I really enjoyed their commentary throughout the ballgame.
Yeah, I thought it was fabulous. I really liked listening to the game last night. I listened to the radio and then watched on TV as you did. And I like looking out in that right field where they have the names of all the Washington sports heroes.
Right.
And I guess I could name most of them and say something about most of them.
You know, the strange thing, and if I told you this before, stop me, but Harmon Killebrew, when he was just a high school phenom athlete from Idaho, in those days, of course, communication was not very good, so they didn't really know much about what went on in the big leagues, and in those days, they didn't have a draft back in the 50s, so the Red Sox and the Senators were the two teams really contending to try to sign him, and there was a very well-known senator from Idaho who had a lot of clout in D.C. with the owner of the Senators pressuring him to sign Harmon, and Harmon's family was pressured some by the senator to sign with the Washington Senators, which he did. He didn't know anything about Fenway Park or Griffith Stadium. The first day he walked out on the field out of the dugout at Griffith Stadium, he almost had a coronary. Right-handed batter with power to left field 405 feet down the line. And it was even worse when he finally got to Fenway and looked at that 315-foot green monster. So the times often are very different.